So that's a way to be your brother's keeper. I didn't let it go when William asked me if I would do the scripture. I wanted to find out if there was a different word I could use besides keeper, because I didn't know what keep meant. Is keep something that you put in a drawer? Is something that you own, that you hide away, you keep it? Is it something that you do to tend a garden? Do you keep the garden? Do you keep someone's memory? What does keep mean? And I was wondering what God meant when he asked that question. Well, he doesn't just ask one question. He has four questions in our scripture today. Four questions. And we're all about the questions that God asks us. And in this week of competition, that is the underlying theme here in this story. It's two brothers competing against each other. Where'd that come from? God didn't say, the previous chapter, Genesis 3, it just says, go tend the garden, go till the soil. It doesn't say anything about compete with one another. Somewhere, one of these brothers got it in their head that they had to be better. And I know we've been watching the Olympics, and I've been watching just like the rest of you probably. And I like to see a friendly competition in sports to see if you can do something a little better, a little faster, a little stronger. But we are not charged to compete for God's affections. He didn't ask for that. He asks us to do what is right because we know in our heart what's right. He even accuses Cain of that. If you'll listen, one of the questions is, don't you know what is right? It's not competing with your brother. So hear now the word of God, and think of the word keeper at the end of this, but I've used the common English Bible translation so that you will hear a different word that means the same thing. The man Adam knew his wife Eve intimately. She became pregnant and gave birth to Cain and said, I have given life to a man with the Lord's help. She gave birth a second time to Cain's brother Abel. Abel cared for the flocks, and Cain farmed the fertile land. Sometime later, Cain presented an offering to the Lord from the land's crops, while Abel presented his flock's oldest offspring with their fat. The Lord looked favorably on Abel and his sacrifice, but didn't look favorably on Cain and his sacrifice. And Cain became very angry and resentful. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why do you look so resentful? If you do the right thing, won't you be accepted? But if you don't do the right thing, sin will be waiting at the door, ready to strike. It will entice you, but you must rule over it. And Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And when they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? And Cain said, I don't know. Am I my brother's guardian? The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Brent. And wow, what a wonderful way to set that scripture up. It's kind of a difficult one to read. But today we have a very important message. You know, conflict of brothers is nothing new. It goes way on back to the book of Genesis, right in the very beginning, right within the creation story. We find two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain the older brother, Abel the younger brother. The name Cain can be actually translated spear or metal worker. The name Abel means breath. Life is but a breath. And of course, they both had kind of different jobs. Cain was the one who worked in the fields, tilling the ground and bringing forth the produce of the land. And Abel was the one who kept the sheep, a keeper of sheep. Two admirable jobs. But they were also instructed from the very beginning to bring offerings to God. And so it was only natural that Cain brought some of the crops of the field to place it before God as an offering. And Abel, as a keeper of sheep, brought the firstborn lambs presented to God as an offering. And then we're told that God accepted Abel and his offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering. And that's troublesome because we don't understand why they both brought offerings. The Bible doesn't tell us, but the Bible does tell us this, that when Cain heard the news that his was not accepted, his countenance dropped and became extremely angry. And what the Bible does tell us is that God asked him to address his countenance. In other words, be careful. God said to Cain, beware, because sin is lurking at the door and you must master it, and it is your choice. If you do well, you'll be accepted. But we learn very early on how anger, uncontrolled and untamed, can lead to murder. And so in verse 8, it's just one little verse. I'm glad they don't go into the details. It just says that Cain invited his brother to go out into the field alone. But are we ever totally alone? And it was there that Cain killed his brother. And so, God, who obviously knows all and sees all, still invites us to come in relationship with Him, and He invites us through questions to invoke a response. Perhaps in this case, to invoke a confession of taking responsibility. So, the Lord addresses Cain, where is your brother? And then we see the character of Cain truly revealed. He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, I too want to talk about that word keeper just for a moment. Conley, thanks for mentioning. Now, it could be that in using that word, Cain was insulting God, because God is our keeper. And Cain could have simply been saying, you know, that's not my job. That's your job to keep up with him. That's your job to be our keeper. In Psalm 121, it says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. So Cain's saying, hey, why are you asking me? You're the keeper. You're the one who's supposed to keep up with everybody. You're the one who's supposed to be responsible and to be one's, and to be the keeper. Well, let's come back to that word keeper. It was used earlier when God was talking to Adam. And he said, Adam, I want you to be the keeper of the garden. In other words, very early on in creation, God established in which there is a partnership. God, the creator, and Adam and Eve, the creature, in partnership. Just as God cares to create and watch over creation, Adam, who has been made in his image, is to bear responsibility for caring and watching over creation. Adam was instructed to be a keeper, keeper of creation. And yes, God is a keeper of people, and God does watch over us. But because we're made in the image of God, we're also to be the keeper of one another. This is what it means to be a human being made in the image of God. We bear God's image. God is a God who who watches over creation, who watches over people. And made in His image, we are His representative on earth to carry out our responsibility of caring for creation, stewardship, and also for watching over one another, of being the keeper of one another. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm only human. And I kind of cringe when they say that. I know what they're saying. They're saying, well, I'm not perfect. I know you're not perfect. But do you know it's really a compliment to be called a human being? Because to be called a human being means you are made in the image of God. You have capabilities of being responsible, of being moral, being compassionate, of being just. You're made in the image of a good and gracious God. You bear these qualities as well. To be a human being made in the image of God is a compliment. It means you too care for creation and for people and everything that God cares about. Matter of fact, He's placed you and me on earth to be His caretakers. But so often throughout human history, what has happened is that we have stripped other people of their humanity. We've seen people as less than human. We've stripped them of their humanity. And whenever we strip another person of their humanity and we no longer see them as our brother or we no longer see them as our sister, we tarnish our own humanity. You see, we can't say that our lives truly matter without saying that your life truly matters too. Our life is so intricately linked that what I do or don't do dramatically affects you, and what you do or don't do dramatically affects me. I love that poem. I won't quote the whole thing, but no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in humanity. So, God asked this question, where is your brother? Cain says, I don't know, and it's not my responsibility. But implied here in this story is, it is our responsibility to be our brother's keeper. Also, our sister's keeper. I was trying to think about some stories that I know where people have lived that out in their everyday life. And a story came to my mind about a member of this church, Stuart Gordon. He goes to another church at this present time. His mother and father are members here, Ralph and Suzanne Gordon. But growing up in this church, Stuart learned the lesson of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he is a teacher at the Wake Young Men's Leadership Academy on Harrogate Street in Raleigh, North Carolina. And he works with teenagers up 17, 18 years old who have significant challenges in their life. And sometimes in his classroom, it takes a lot just to keep order. It takes a lot to do what a teacher's supposed to do with all the paperwork they got to do these days, and then you got discipline in the classroom, and then you got the responsibility of teaching. But then you see things. You see someone who acts out. And it would be so easy to say, that's a problem child. But he saw a child in his class that was acting out, and he didn't simply see this as a child that needed to be disciplined or dismissed or turned away, but he saw this person through the lens of compassion. And he wondered, what's his home like? What's his relationship with his father like? What's his relationship with his mother like? What is going on in his life? And you have to be careful in the school system. You can care about students, but then there's a boundary, and there should be a boundary. You see, it's so difficult sometimes to know what are we truly responsible for. But I can tell you this, we are responsible to all persons. while we may not be able to be responsible for all persons. What people choose to do or not do is their responsibility, but we have a responsibility in how we relate to them. And so Stuart related to this child. This child began to stay after school because there was really no other place for this child to go at that particular time. And not only did Stuart tutor him, help him to do his work, but he got to know him. And the child asked him, well, not child, the teenager asked him this question. Mr. Gordon, if you are not a teacher, what do you think you might be? He said, well, I know that I'm supposed to be a teacher because God called me to be a teacher. But I guess if I wasn't a teacher, I'd be a pastor. And his student said, you're a Christian? And Stuart said, yes. And that's why I care about you. That's why I want to help you. Now, let me tell you about this school. I did not know all this about the school. This truly is an amazing school. The Wake Young Men's Leadership Academy. I talked with Stuart last night. I said, Stuart, I'm going to be talking about you tomorrow. And, you know, he helped so many people, he couldn't remember the story that he told me many years ago. That's just who he is. I said, well, tell me about your school. It's the Wake Young Men's Leadership Academy on Hargett Street. I said, I'm going to be preaching about being my brother's keeper. And he said, that's interesting because all our students say a creed in school every day, and that's in the creed. He says, every day this is what we have our students to say as our creed. Listen, I am a Wake Young Men's Leadership student. This is my school, and these are my brothers. It's an all-boys school. I am committed to scholarship and being the best student I can be. I am committed to service and making my community stronger. I am committed to success and being my brother's keeper. I am responsible for my actions. I am respectful of my family. I am dedicated to my school. I am a leader. It's interesting, isn't it? How that school, while it's a secular school, it's not a religious school, it's a secular school, they picked up on the very imagery of the Bible. Being our brother's keeper. And that's the creed. Now, he told me about some of the students. He says, some of the students are rising to the challenge. And he told the story about how one of the students there learned that his friend was in trouble and had been arrested and was placed in jail. And he went to visit. And when he went to visit, his friend found out that someone had came to see him. Prior to that visit, no one had come to see him. But it was who? It was his brother who said, no matter what happens, you are my brother and I am my brother's keeper. Well, the challenge today is simply this. That was a question that was directed to Cain. And then the underlining question was simply, you know, are you your brother's keeper? Well, that question is directed to us. We read the Bible so often because we want to find answers to problems, and we read the Bible because we want God to answer our questions. But in reading the Bible, God has questions for us. Last week, the question was, where are you? This week, the question is simply, where is your brother? You know, it's kind of interesting. God seems to want to know where people are. He wants to know where you are, where I am, where your brother is, where your sister is. He kind of wants to know, where are my children? And how are they doing? So the question is directed to us today. Are you your brother's keeper? And I thought about, if I were to write a creed for us as Christians, What could I say? And here's the disciples' creed that I came up with. Christ calls me to love, to stand up for, and to kneel down in humility to serve others. I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. Following Christ, my brother, I will be a man for others. Now, the application this week is fairly simple. I want you to take your bulletin home, because in your bulletin, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a look at these three things. Will you hear God's question as a call to give thought to your responsibility towards others? Begin with the circle of your own family, friends, and neighbors. While they are responsible for their own choices, reflect on how you can contribute to their well-being. Second, think of a person you may consider an enemy. Ask God to help you see him or her in a new way. Pray that you may accept him or her as a brother or sister in the human family to which we all belong. Let your behavior towards these persons be influenced by this insight. And then third and lastly, reflect upon what is going on in the world around you. Ask God, where are you calling me to respond to human need and suffering in the world today? So reflect upon those questions this week. And the invitation today is to be anointed, to be your brother's keeper, to be your sister's keeper, and also to be reminded that Jesus is your big brother and he will keep you. Let us stand.